The harvest does not wait for you to catch up. One day the garden looks manageable, the next day it is overflowing. Tomatoes split on the vine, greens bolt in the heat, fruit drops faster than you can pick it up. Every hour you delay turns food into waste. You stand there knowing the truth. Eating it fresh is not enough. Giving it away will not solve the volume. Leaving it is not an option. If you do nothing, weeks of work disappear in days. Preservation is not a hobby at this moment. It is pressure. It is time, temperature, and decisions made under fatigue. Choose the wrong method and the food spoils quietly. Choose the unsafe one, and the risk follows you months later when you least expect it. This is where real food security begins, not in abundance, but in control. You either lock the harvest down now, or you watch it rot and tell yourself it was unavoidable. Chapter 1. When the harvest peaks. The harvest does not arrive politely. It hits all at once. One week you're checking ripeness. The next week, everything is ready, and nothing is waiting on you. This is the moment that separates intention from discipline. You walk the beds or the rows, and you see it immediately. Volume, more than you plan to eat, more than you can cook tonight, more than your refrigerator can hold. This is not failure. This is success with consequences. Food does not forgive delay. Ripeness is a narrow window. Miss it and quality drops fast. Go past it and spoilage accelerates. You are working against time now, not gardening for pleasure. The first decision is not how to preserve. The first decision is what is at risk. You look at what bruises easily. You look at what molds quickly. You look at what attracts insects once skin breaks. Soft fruit goes first. Leafy greens follow. Anything already damaged moves to the front of the line. You do not treat all food the same. Moisture matters, acidity matters, density matters. Some foods invite bacteria if mishandled. Others are forgiving. You sort with purpose, not sentiment. This is where many people stumble. They see abundance and feel relaxed. Relaxation is how food is lost. The pressure is real, even if the setting looks peaceful. You start by stabilizing the environment. Heat speeds decay. Sunlight weakens produce. Humidity invites mold. You get harvested food out of the field and into shade fast. You spread it out. Piles trap heat and moisture. Spread food breathes. You inspect everything, not quickly, not casually. You look for cracks, soft spots, insect damage, slime, off smell. Anything questionable is removed immediately. Preservation does not fix bad food. It locks in what is already there. You clean with intent. Dirt carries organisms. Residue feeds them. You wash hands before handling. You wash tools before reuse. You clean surfaces between batches. This is not paranoia. This is control. Sanitation is the quiet foundation of every method that follows. Skip it, and no technique will save you later. Now you face the real choice. What will be eaten fresh? What must be preserved today? What can wait a few days under proper conditions? This is triage, not preference. You consider your climate without pretending it is something else. Hot and humid climates punish hesitation. Cool climates give you a little time, but not immunity. Arid climates dry food naturally, but still invite pests. Cold climates slow decay, but hide it behind frost. You plan for reality, not ideal conditions. You ask hard questions. Do you have stable electricity? Do you have reliable water? Do you have storage space that stays cool without effort? Do you have the energy today to work carefully and safely? Preservation requires attention. If you are exhausted, distracted, or rushed, some methods should wait. Others are designed for speed. Knowing the difference matters. You do not start with tools. You start with limits, time, energy, space, climate. Once you see those clearly, methods reveal themselves later. At this stage, your goal is not preservation. Your goal is preventing loss before preservation begins. You manage temperature first. Cooling slows biological activity. Even simple cooling buys time. A shaded breeze, a cool room, a clean container with airflow. These are not final solutions, but they stop the clock from sprinting. You manage moisture next. Wet surfaces invite decay. Excess water trapped in containers causes trouble later. You dry surfaces before storage. You avoid sealing food while it is still damp unless the method requires it. You separate crops that release gases from those that suffer from them. Some fruits accelerate ripening in others. Mixing them shortens shelf life across the board. Separation is simple and powerful. You label mentally even before labels exist. You remember harvest dates. You remember locations. You remember which plants struggled and which thrived. This information guides what you trust later. This chapter is about awareness. You are not preserving yet. You are setting the stage so preservation can succeed. Many losses happen here, not later. Food left in baskets overnight. Food stacked too deep. Food washed and sealed too soon. Food ignored because there was too much to think about. You slow down enough to think clearly. Speed without control is waste. You choose a working order. What must be handled today? What can survive until morning? What needs to be eaten or discarded immediately? Discipline is visible in this order. Discarding food hurts. It feels like failure. It is not. Keeping unsafe food is worse. Pride ruins more harvest than weather ever will. You remind yourself of the goal: year-round eating, not saving everything at any cost, saving food safely and intentionally. You check containers for cleanliness. You stage them dry and ready. You do not improvise with dirty tools or questionable jars or reused bags without inspection. Shortcuts here show up months later when consequences are harder to trace. You think forward. Once preserved, food becomes silent. You cannot see mistakes easily. What you do now determines whether that silence is safety or danger. This pressure is part of self-reliance. Stores hide it from you. Packaging hides it from you. Your harvest does not hide anything. You feel the weight of responsibility. Not dramatic, real. This food represents time, water, soil, labor. It deserves care, not panic. By the end of this stage, you should know exactly what you have, what condition it is in, and how long you have before choices disappear. If you do not know these things, you are already behind. This is not about mastery, it's about control. Control of environment, control of timing, control of attention. Once that control exists, methods become tools instead of gambles. The harvest is still breathing. It is still changing. You have paused the damage, but not stopped it. The next decisions will decide whether this food feeds you later or teaches you a hard lesson. You move forward, knowing the clock is still running. Chapter 2: Methods That Stop Time. Once you have the harvest sorted, the next step is choosing how to hold it against decay. This is where preparation meets method. You are no longer reacting, you are controlling. Every choice carries risk and reward, and there is no room for guesswork. Canning is the method most people think of first. Jars filled with colorful vegetables or fruits look like security, but only when done correctly. There are two main approaches: water bath canning and pressure canning. Water bath works for high acid foods like tomatoes, berries, and pickles. Pressure canning handles low acid items like beans, corn, and potatoes. The difference is not subtle. Pressure controls temperature and kills spores that water bath cannot. Choosing the wrong method is dangerous. Botulism does not warn you, it hides silently. You assess your capacity. Do you have reliable heat? Can your stove or pressure cooker maintain steady pressure or temperature for the required time? Do you have enough jars, lids, and rings that are sound and clean? Each variable compounds the risk. A single misstep can undo hours of careful work. Freezing is simpler in appearance, but it is not without nuance. The key is speed and protection. Food must be frozen quickly to preserve structure and nutrient content. Air is the enemy. Freezer burn dries, toughens, and weakens flavor. Containers must be airtight, bags sealed carefully, and portions pre-planned. You cannot throw everything into one oversized container and hope for the best. You think ahead. How much will you eat at a time? How will you thaw it safely? Drying and dehydration are climate-smart options. Air, heat, and low moisture remove water from vegetables, fruits, and even herbs. Without moisture, bacteria and mold cannot thrive. But drying is a delicate balance. Too much heat cooks instead of dries. Too little heat invites spoilage. Humidity slows the process and can undo hours of patient work. You spread slices evenly, rotate trays, and monitor until the surface is pliable but not sticky. Fermentation is controlled decay. At first glance, it seems counterintuitive. You let bacteria grow to preserve food. But when done correctly, fermentation creates an environment hostile to pathogens. Pickles, sauerkraut, and kimchi rely on acidity and anaerobic conditions. You monitor salt concentration, cleanliness, and the seal carefully. A small lapse can turn a safe batch into an unsafe one. Taste alone does not guarantee safety. You think in terms of biology and timing, not flavor. Root cellaring and cool storage are underrated. Potatoes, carrots, apples, and winter squash survive long-term in the right conditions. You consider temperature, humidity, airflow, and protection from pests. Even hardy crops can fail if your cellar warms or moisture accumulates. You monitor constantly, checking for early signs of spoilage. A single rotten root can spread decay to the rest of the stock. You pair methods to the environment. Humid zones favor fermentation and quick drying with airflow. Arid zones make sun drying effective. Cold zones allow storage with minimal intervention, but require contingency planning for power outages. Each choice is climate specific, and ignoring that fact is a recipe for loss. Safety is always at the forefront. Acidity, temperature, oxygen, and moisture are the four pillars. Any misalignment invites pathogens. Low-acid foods canned in water bath jars are unsafe. Wet surfaces sealed in airtight containers encourage mold. Warm freezers or fluctuating temperatures compromise texture and safety. You measure, monitor, and never assume. You review common failure points: jars with loose lids, vegetables packed too tightly, herbs that trap moisture, food stored in bags that leak or tear. Each minor detail multiplies risk. Preservation is unforgiving. Sloppy work now manifests months later as spoilage, wasted labor, or illness. Energy and timing govern your day. Some methods take hours of active attention. Others require passive patience. Pressure canning demands vigilance. Fermentation requires monitoring. Drying and freezing can overlap if scheduled correctly. You plan work in blocks to maintain consistency and safety. You also consider the human element. Mistakes are rarely catastrophic if caught early. Fatigue, distraction, or impatience are constant threats. You schedule breaks, pace yourself, and avoid shortcuts. One careless step, too much heat, too little airflow, jars not sterilized, can ruin a batch or worse. Equipment matters, but it is secondary to technique. Jars, lids, dehydrators, freezers, cool storage spaces, they all have limits. You respect them. You inspect, test, and maintain. Equipment failure is common, and it amplifies errors in technique. Plan for backup or replacement if possible. The mental discipline of method is critical. You cannot treat preservation like a casual task. Each step is a decision point, risk versus reward. Timing, order, and control determine outcomes. You develop a rhythm: washing, sorting, prepping, sealing, cooling, storing. You never jump ahead or skip. Mistakes compound silently. You also think long term. Food safety is not only about immediate spoilage. Improperly preserved food may look fine for weeks, then degrade rapidly. Fermented foods can become off-tasting or unsafe. Frozen foods may thaw unevenly. Canned goods may bulge or leak. Your vigilance must extend far beyond the moment of sealing. Labeling is non-negotiable. You mark dates, types, and method used. Without labels, rotation fails. Oldest jars forgotten at the back of the shelf become hazards. Proper labeling is simple, but neglect here undermines months of work. You rotate intelligently. First preserved is first eaten. You use visual cues and mental notes to track age. You never mix old and new unless both are stable and safe. Discipline in rotation prevents surprise spoilage and loss of trust in your system. Inspection is ongoing. Even after the process is complete, you check periodically. Jars sealed correctly may leak. Freezer power may fluctuate. Air-dried foods may reabsorb moisture. Fermented foods may need rebalancing of brine or salt. You catch problems early. This stage is about establishing control and trust in your preserved food. You cannot control the harvest now, it is done, but you can control what survives. Every batch is a test of knowledge, attention, and respect for the food and methods. You imagine the months ahead: winter hunger, heat waves, rainy seasons. Your work today decides whether you have food to eat or empty shelves. The stakes are invisible until the moment of need. If you fail, it is silent, cumulative, and unavoidable. You plan contingencies. Power outages, equipment failure, and spoiled batches are inevitable realities. You schedule backups, reserve emergency stores, and allocate resources to the most vulnerable crops first. Adaptation is built into method. By the end of this chapter, you know precisely what method suits each crop, climate, and storage plan. You understand risks and limits. You have tools and technique aligned. You have mental discipline and a schedule. You are ready to preserve safely, effectively, and for the long term. The harvest is controlled, but the work is far from over. You have paused decay. You have chosen method. You have respected safety. The next stage is storage, rotation, and living with the discipline that ensures your year-round security. The clock is still running. Mistakes are invisible until it is too late. You cannot afford error now. Every decision matters, and every method chosen will either protect or betray the harvest you worked so hard to secure. Chapter 3. Storage, rotation, and survival discipline. Preservation methods stop decay, but storage is where control is tested. You are no longer just processing food. Now you are managing months of work under the pressure of time, environment, and human error. Your success is measured not by what you preserved, but by what remains edible and safe when you need it most. You start with organization. Containers and storage spaces must match the method used. Canned goods go on sturdy shelves with stable surfaces. Freezer items need a system that avoids crushing and allows airflow. Dried foods must be stored in airtight, moisture-proof containers. Root vegetables and hardy crops belong in cool, dark, ventilated cellars. Each method has its space, and each space has limits. Ignoring limits invites spoilage, even with perfect preservation. Labeling is the quiet foundation of storage discipline. Date, crop, method, any other relevant detail. Without this, you rely on memory, which is unreliable. You rotate stock consistently, first preserved, first eaten. New batches behind old batches. This simple principle prevents waste, preserves quality, and maintains safety. Inspection is your daily, or at minimum, weekly ritual. You do not wait for problems to announce themselves. You open jars, check seals, examine dried foods, monitor freezer integrity, inspect root crops for sprouting or rot. Early signs of trouble must be acted on immediately. A single rotten item left unchecked can compromise an entire batch. You account for climate stress. Heat waves, humidity spikes, unexpected freezes, and floods can undo months of work. You plan contingencies. Freezers are loaded sensibly to avoid thawing from power fluctuations. Cellars are monitored for moisture. Dried foods are checked after rainy spells. Humid zones may need desiccant or airflow adjustments. Cold zones require protection against thaw cycles. Awareness is constant, not occasional. You enforce human discipline. Pride or hesitation cannot override safety. If a batch smells off, shows discoloration, or the container is compromised, you discard it immediately. You understand that food is not sentimental. It is fuel, security, and survival. Holding on to spoiled food is worse than loss. It is a threat. Rotation discipline becomes habit, but it is not automatic. You develop a routine. Shelves and storage spaces are systematically checked. Foods approaching age limits are prioritized for consumption. You track quantities mentally and with simple logs. Systems fail when human attention fails. You maintain vigilance. You also consider portion planning. Freezing or canning in quantities too large leads to waste when only part is used. Portioning aligns with consumption patterns, reducing unnecessary exposure and spoilage. You plan meals around stock, not stock around meals. Efficiency reduces risk. Inspection extends beyond food to infrastructure. Shelves, coolers, freezers, and cellars degrade over time. A sagging shelf risks crushing jars. A malfunctioning freezer risks thawing. Pests find every weakness. You check structural integrity, seals, and protective measures regularly. Prevention is less costly than recovery. Mental discipline is the invisible tool. You remain aware of the consequences of neglect. Months of work can fail silently. Errors compound without notice. Your attention to detail now protects your future self. You do not rush or take shortcuts. Preservation is continuous, not episodic. Contingency planning is central. You cannot control all variables. Power outages, equipment failure, or sudden spoilage may occur. You maintain backup storage, extra energy sources, or alternative spaces. Redundancy is safety. You accept that some loss is inevitable, but total loss is preventable with planning and vigilance. You integrate your system with seasonal cycles. Each harvest teaches something. Successes and failures guide next year's decisions. You refine methods, adjust quantities, and tweak storage approaches. The cycle is iterative. Mastery is not instant. It is earned through observation, record keeping, and disciplined repetition. You understand risk points. Freezer burn, condensation in sealed jars, moisture in dried foods, unventilated root crops, improperly sealed fermentation containers. Each can undermine months of effort. You do not ignore warning signs. Action is immediate and decisive. You enforce hygiene continuously. Food is handled minimally. Hands and tools are clean. Surfaces sanitized. Cross-contamination is the enemy. Even perfectly preserved items are vulnerable if storage routines lapse. Discipline applies to every interaction with food. Your mental framework shifts from reaction to vigilance. Harvest is passed, preservation methods are applied. Now storage and rotation determine whether your work results in year-round food security. You anticipate needs, plan consumption, and monitor continuously. Your system is not static, it adapts to environmental and human factors. You prepare for emergencies. A freezer fails midwinter. You have a plan. Move items to alternate freezers, consume perishable items first, or convert to other methods like drying or cooking for immediate use. Preparedness reduces panic and waste. You respect limits. Every container, shelf, and space has capacity. Overloading risks mechanical failure, compromised seals, and uneven temperatures. You measure, weigh, and allocate realistically. Control is maintained when expectations match capability. Inspection extends to sensory checks. Sight, smell, and touch provide immediate feedback. Bulging jars, off smells, slime, discoloration, or mold are indicators that cannot be ignored. You remove compromised items immediately. Early intervention preserves the rest. Rotation is strategic. You track what was preserved first. You plan meals to consume older items first. Newer stock moves behind. Rotation reduces exposure to spoilage and ensures consistent quality. This habit must be enforced rigorously. Documentation reinforces discipline. Notes, logs, and simple labels prevent human error. Dates, types, and methods are recorded. Observations about storage conditions and climate effects guide future harvests. Data informs action. You maintain a hierarchy of attention. High-risk foods receive daily checks, moderate-risk items weekly, low-risk items monthly. You allocate effort where it matters. Attention is finite. Prioritization maximizes safety and efficiency. You recognize human fallibility. Distraction, fatigue, and complacency are constant threats. You enforce routines, checklists, and accountability. Mistakes at this stage have long-term consequences. Discipline mitigates risk. You integrate storage management with overall self-reliance. Preservation methods only deliver on their promise if storage and rotation are rigorous. Your work today determines survival tomorrow. By the end of this chapter, you have established a system, organized spaces, labeled and rotated stock, regular inspection routines, climate-aware adjustments, contingency planning, and disciplined human interaction. You are prepared to face months of reliance on your preserved harvest. The harvest is no longer a threat. It is secured, but control is fragile. Vigilance is ongoing. Your survival depends on respect for method, storage, rotation, and discipline. You have created a living system. The test comes when the stores are relied upon, months from now. Failure is silent. Success is quiet. The difference lies entirely in what you did during these critical months. This is where the discipline of preservation proves its worth. You are ready, but the challenge continues. The season may end, but your work never truly stops.